You walked in here when I was talking on the phone. Then.
I know.
The lead-in song to Lynn Slonica's Education Review is Little Town Flirt. So.
Thank you, Peter. That's
all I got to say. It's Tuesday, so that means it's time for me to say Lynn Slonica's in the house.
Yeah. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. A belated happy turkey day to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving o'clock?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving o'clock.
Yeah.
It's seventh night of Chakanaka.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I played How Do You Spell Hanukkah yesterday.
I heard that. That was pretty good.
It's with a C. No, it's not. When I was in second grade, it was with an H.
I
don't know what happened.
I know, that's one of those things. Someone needs to get back to us on that.
And which is a good lead into education. What's going on that we can't get Hanukkah correct?
Well, I don't know. That'll take a lot longer than the time we have here. Let's see. In the last week, I sort of collected a few of these stories about old school buildings. Because, you know, as people are aware, we just came off of that referendum vote out there in Chatham. And that was all about, part of that was all about an old building that could be emptied and abandoned.
And we had the news about the other one that couldn't be sold or they dropped the price on it. What was that?
Yeah, well, that was the other one that I had here on my list, Akawamik School. Mm-hmm. That was a school out in the Taconic Hills, what is now the Taconic Hills School District. When they consolidated and everyone went into a K-12 complex over there in Craryville, Akawamik was one of their schools. The county bought that, and they bought it for $1.5 million.
Yeah.
There was a whole plan to empty out some buildings in Hudson and move county agencies over there. That was about 6 years ago, 5 years ago, and there was a huge resistance to that because of public transportation, just the logistics of it. There were also some problems with the property and making it usable for that kind of traffic. So, but it's still sitting out there. They're using it as a storage, and when I say they, I mean the county. But recently they accepted the reduced assessment on that. It's gone down to $700,000.
Ouch.
Ouch is right. And the taxpayers will ultimately have to see that through because the county will either have to use it or sell it. Who knows what that'll bring.
And this is, and all of these empty buildings... well, there's two things I know, I guess, from my maintenance background. There is no such thing as, facilities-wise, there's no such thing as an empty building because you have to maintain it.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. It costs money for no one to be in it.
Well, that's right. And there's that, what's the difference between it being closed down and mothballed?
You can mothball a building and turn off the heat and all that stuff. But,
and the water.
And the water, but you still have to maintain that building.
Right.
You still have to check the pipes. You still have to check if there's a storm. You still have to go there and check the roof.
Right.
Sometimes some buildings are just closed, but then you have to keep the temperature at a certain rate.
Right.
And the building's still alive.
Well, it is.
Even when it's mothballed, it's still, unless you're just going to walk away from it and let it fall apart.
Right, exactly. Well, and that's the issue over at the Greenport School. In Greenport, the former elementary school over there, part of the Hudson District, that they have issues over there because they have to maintain the grounds.
Yeah.
Because it's right in a very, very busy area. It's very obvious that it's an abandoned building.
That's right. And then there's also a security problem.
Exactly.
I've never been in a situation where a building was cleaned out. Everybody left that building where facilities didn't have to. At least once or twice a week, go to that building
because it's
there. It's your responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and Greenport is another one of the buildings on my list. There was a story last week. There's some movement on that building. I think we may have mentioned it back in the summertime that the Board of Ed in Hudson agreed to a $400,000 selling price. And now it appears that this is one of those odd things that the seller of the building has to do the preliminary work with the planning commission to allow for the change of use. And this buyer is interested in making it into a housing, a four-story housing facility.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the things that jumped out at me was that he's going to pay $400,000 for the building, but they're estimating that the asbestos abatement for the property will cost between $350,000 and $400,000. And so, and that sale will be up for a referendum vote in Hudson in the spring. So Hudson voters will decide if $400,000 is appropriate.
And then you're going to convert a classroom setting type building into an apartment setting type building, which is just basically gutting the building.
Well, Greenport is actually has two sections to it. Mm-hmm. It has a very old building that I think that dates back to the early 20th century, maybe even late 19th century. And then it has a more contemporary one-story extension on it. So I don't know what the plan is as far as the original structure, but it comes with about 15 acres of land.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's really prime real estate out there in Greenport. So who knows? Maybe he'll just tear down the school and build on the back end of the property. I don't know.
Then you have to get human beings to move in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Claverick School is another one of those things that was up for sale. The district thought they had a buyer there. They went to the Claverick Planning Commission, and I'm not really quite clear what happened. But the change of use, it was being purchased by someone who wanted to use it as a business location. The change of use fell through, or at least it was delayed, and the buyer dropped out. So that is still a Hudson school. It's being used temporarily as the Columbia County Courthouse. The county is paying the school district $10,000 a month for that. And I'm sure that will be extended because I think work on the courthouse here is a little behind schedule.
But then once that's cleared up, that'll be another empty building.
Right. That'll be, and it is still up for sale, as far as I know. A related or, you know, a different sort of thing, another capital improvement plan out in Germantown. At their November meeting, that Board of Education had a whole conversation about their priority projects list. That is based on a five-year plan. If most people are unaware of how school districts work and what they're required under law to do, they have to have a five-year plan, a five-year facilities plan in effect at all times. And you have an architect that comes in, surveys your buildings, gives you the lowdown on where your issues are, and then based on that five-year plan, that's how they project what they're going to be doing. They had about 16 items on this priority list. Some of them they've already accomplished, but they're another one. They want renovations to their cafeteria, their kitchen, their auditorium, music room, boys and girls locker room, and the gym floor in the high school, et cetera. That's another one of those buildings that is a K-12 school. That's everybody in the district goes to one building. So the total for those different projects came in around $5.4 million.
Ouch.
Yeah. And they say after contingencies, soft costs, and escalation, $8.1 million. So that's a story to watch. That's a very teeny, teeny little district.
Right. Well, and if you imagine the ones that you just rattled off, and to know that the future holds more of this.
Yeah, exactly.
It has to.
Yeah.
Unless, as I predicted, people just start having babies.
Yeah. But even at that, right. I mean, how many babies?
Right. How many babies can you have?
Can Germantown have? Yeah. I do think that at some point, it's just a question of when and how are they going to find a way to consolidate school districts or at least consolidate schools.
And that will
level.
Be the biggie. If they,
that will be huge.
We couldn't even get, did we ever get past consolidating transportation between the districts? No, because they wouldn't agree on that.
Yeah.
Consolidating school districts would be a sword fight.
Well, yeah. And also, you have to remember, transportation is especially tricky because that goes into the aid formula
for
each school district. So whenever there's money attached, it gets another story is kind of interesting. We've been talking about standardized testing. The Ichabod Crane School District out in Kinderhook adopted the over-reliance on standardized test resolution a couple of weeks ago. It was adopted unanimously by the board. It's largely symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the second time they've done it, saying that, and they take special issue with using student test scores in evaluating teachers and administrators.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. That's a debate that'll go on forever, too.
Exactly. A little mention here, there's all this question under Common Core and some of the new state-level organizations about sharing data about students. Well, New York and a number of other states, back 18 months ago, somebody came up with this brilliant idea of using a cloud server and a cloud server service for this purpose. And there was a special startup company that was created, got some seed money, and went out and pitched all the states. And if people aren't familiar with using a cloud,
I could hear it now.
Yeah, very simply put, it's the ability to store material, data, documents, whatever, in a place away from your own home server.
That's right. Offsite.
Offsite. Whether it be, your own local hard drive or a server you might use, say, for your internet provider. It's, somewhere away, offsite. Mm. So, of course, this raised a lot of issues over security.
I can't imagine.
I mean, the basic concept alone was a tricky one to negotiate. But this was a startup. Nobody really knew much about. There was no track record. Well, I'm just looking here at my notes. The states that signed up, in addition to New York, were Louisiana, Kentucky, Georgia, and Delaware, Massachusetts, and Colorado. So the story this past month is that now New York is the only state left standing out of that group that's willing to participate in this project.
Wow.
But they say that they are going to start sending that information to InBloom, that's the name of the company, as of January 1st. We'll see what happens.
Well, we'll see. I understand people's suspicions about the cloud.
Yeah.
But we have to separate suspicions from superstitions.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. No, it's true. And it's actually both educators and parents will be able to access this material via a portal. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. There's a new elementary school principal. People probably saw that in the news a little over a week ago out at Ichabod Crane. Her name is Suzanne Guntlow. She's replacing Sharon Shine, who's now, she went on to become superintendent of the Galway Central School District. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. They apparently interviewed quite a few people, more than 100 people.
Didn't she come? She came down from Massachusetts. What I read?
No, Waterville.
Oh, Waterville. Okay.
Yeah, that was where her most recent experience.
Oh, okay.
She's held a lot of different positions in education, and the first level was she was a classroom teacher for 12 years. So she's somebody who knows her way around a building, I would say. This is news from the inside at Hudson High School. If people remember a power outage on Wednesday, October 30th, that's when you were still on your
medical leave.
But we went off the air briefly here because we lost our power. There are all kinds of stories circulating about what actually happened at the high school that morning, Hudson High School.
Mm-hmm.
long story short, it seemed like it was a bit of a chaotic mess. The kids were one of the things that happened was that walkers and drivers were released early. No one in central administration or in the other buildings knew that the kids were being released. And, of course, that created all kinds of pandemonium when they showed up to pick up siblings
yes.
at the other school.
Right, exactly.
But what made it really tricky was that apparently because the power outage hit just before school was about to start, attendance wasn't taken. So they couldn't tell, the teachers and administrators couldn't tell a parent if a parent came looking for their child or inquiring about their child. They couldn't tell them whether they'd been there or not.
I assume that something is going to be done to make sure that
I would
this
think so.
Doesn't happen
I would
again.
Think so. But see, this is one of those cases where, you know, technology is a great thing, but to become overly reliant, and
right.
so much now what's happening with systems in schools is that people are forgetting how it used to be done when you didn't use a computer, when you
That's
didn't
right.
use email,
right.
or have to rely on phone service that goes through a centralized location that's all electrified.
You did a head count.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
what we did.
Exactly.
You had to raise
exactly.
your hand and say that you were there.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's kind of a, yeah, as a parent, that was a little, that's a little chilling.
Yeah. 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 Or showing up to the school and finding out
yeah.
that it's A, closed, and you don't know where my child is.
Yeah, exactly. And just a final little note here, as we head into budget season, the arts, as we all know, are always the low-hanging fruit when it comes to cutting, you know, when it comes to funding questions. There's a recent study on the benefits of music education. New research suggests that the complexity involved in practicing and performing music may help students' cognitive development. Studies released last month at the Society for Neuroscience meeting find that music training may increase the neural connections in regions of the brain associated with creativity, decision making, and complex memory, and they may improve a student's ability to process conflicting information from many senses at once.
Music is good.
Music
I can't
is
give you the
good.
Technical reason why, but if you study music, we had our little recorders when I was in first grade. Darn it, bring it back.
That's right. That's right. Music is good for the brain.
It's good for the brain.
So I think we should hear some now.
That's it. Lynn Slonica bringing us up to date on education news. And I guess we'll, and don't forget to give us your 2 cents. Let us know what's going on in your district.
Yep.
If you got something juicy happening, tell us about it.
Oh, yeah.
We want to know. So a long time ago and far away, Bill Withers, we're talking about You Done Me Wrong, I Don't Like You No More, Your Feet Stink songs. Bill Withers did a song called Who Is He and What Is He to You?
Oh, right.
But, however, our own Michelle Indigella, she did this song too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, honey, forget about it. She tore it up.
Yeah.
So if we're going to do if we're gonna do You Done Me Wrong songs and we're going to do this song, we might as well do it by Michelle. And mainly because she really does a great version.